Hi guys, welcome back to Let's Get After It. I'm Sydney Pendergast, joined with co-host Alize Khalifa. Hi.
Hi Sydney, how are you?
Good, good. It's getting busy.
Semester's almost over.
Yeah.
Oh, it kind of went by really quickly. It's crazy.
I know,
crazy.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right, moving on then. So in terms of LaunchNet, as you guys know, like summer's coming up, semester's ending, so we don't have a ton booked for over the summer, but just keep up with us through the newsletter, which you can sign up for on the website. But also social media at LaunchNet_KSU. We'll have all our updates there if you want to stay updated with us.
Yeah, stay updated. We're a great time.
Exactly.
Good vibes.
Good vibes.
Okay, well, today we are joined here with Danielle Flemister, who is our new assistant director here at LaunchNet. Hi.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to just dive right in. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Give us a little intro.
Sure. So, yes, like you just said, I'm the new assistant director at LaunchNet. But actually, I worked here some time ago, mm-hmm. and I was a student at Kent State, as you all know.
Yeah.
But, yes, I did at Kent State, studied marketing, entrepreneurship, and that's kind of how I found myself at LaunchNet. Started here as a student fellow and then a part-time venture advisor. Yeah, went off to do some things and came back. It was pretty amazing the way I reconnected with LaunchNet. It was like the position was just waiting and you know, and here
Perfect.
I am today. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. You just did a little circle back. You said I'll
a
catch
circle
you.
Back
you're
for
like,
sure.
I'll see
yes.
you soon.
Yeah, you're like, don't worry, I'll catch you later.
I'll be back.
I can't stay away. I can't
Do you mind talking about that a little bit more, your past with LaunchNet and then where you're at now with us?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So when I came on in LaunchNet, I guess I'll talk about the venture advisor, the part-time venture advisor. Mm-hmm. So I worked there as a part-time venture advisor, and one of the main focuses for me at that time was underrepresented minority, so just creating programs for underrepresented minorities. Mm-hmm. And just making entrepreneurship more accessible. So at that time, I started a cohort for women. We called it All the CEO Ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I think the inspiration is clear at the time. The name has changed since then. But yes, so that was awesome. A lot of women were able to build relationships in that program and just, you know, get the confidence to go forward with their business. So that was great. And we also had another cohort for black and brown students and alumni where we brought in speakers and entrepreneurs to mentor them and speak to them. So, yeah, programs like that, that was my main focus when I was here as a part-time venture advisor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. It's cool seeing that you were, like, one of the starting members of All the CEO Ladies because the first, like, fall semester I started, that was one of the first programs that I had to help, like, put together for the semester and promote out to everyone.
Yeah, that
so,
is cool.
Yeah, no, because I remember, like, hearing about it. I was like, whoa, so you're, like, the creator.
I know, right? The founder.
Like, that's crazy. And then, again, we circled back. We did a whole circle back.
That's what we do here.
I was really happy to see that continue because it really did impact a lot of students at that time, so I was happy to see that as well.
Yeah, it seemed like a good community of people
that came together.
Did you ever, because you have your own, like, ventures that you do, did you ever utilize LaunchNet, like, as from that perspective of a founder?
I did, actually, yes. Oh, yes. Have to use the resources that we give. Why not?
Exactly.
So actually, I was a LaunchNet client when I was a student, mm-hmm. when I was a student fellow. And also when I left, after I worked the part-time position, that's when I was working on ventures and doing other, I had moved to Cleveland, so it was a little bit, at mm-hmm. that time, a lot with the travel and the full-time mm-hmm. work, but, and the businesses.
Yeah.
So I used, but I did, I reached out to LaunchNet to help with one of my businesses that is an art education, art workshop business. So reached out to LaunchNet and I love everyone here always. But yeah, they were great support and connected me into some of the resources that I used to actually launch that business. So that was my first time working with some of my corporate clients.
Yeah.
Through connections here.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. So, like, what exactly was the business, though? Like, what did it entail?
Cool Art. So, it is a art education, art workshop business where we tell stories, connect people to different cultures through art.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are able to learn. It's like you're able to really travel to another part of the world while you're in one room and creating art, and you just get all these stories to stay with you as you're creating something that also resonates with you.
Yeah.
And then you have a wonderful keepsake to put up in your home, really similar to paint and sip events, but just with the storytelling element and the using art as a way to break down those barriers, those cultural barriers. And that's actually where Cool Art started, but there was a lot of demand to use Cool Art to not just to expose people to ethnic cultures, but just even other subcultures, because whenever you're entering a new culture, there's those difficult conversations, and art is one of those mediums that helps people connect, especially on difficult subjects, difficult conversations. So it was just that medium to help people understand different topics and different cultures, whether it's a subculture or whether it's a any type of culture, not just ethnic culture.
Yeah. Okay. And sometimes it's like easier to express things instead of words.
Exactly.
Like, through art.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And it's something everyone can do. Everyone has the ability to create. And you know, they connect because everyone wants to create. Everyone has a desire, even if they think like, oh,
yeah,
I'm not. But by the end of each workshop, they're like, ha, I am Picasso. <You know? laughs> So, you know.
No, I mean, Caitlin had her little workshop and I said, I'm not.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was making those paper cranes left and right.
I
found my passion. I think I like origami now. Yeah.
Did you make enough for all your roommates?
I did. And they were like, what is this? And I said, my art.
You're welcome.
I was like, appreciate it.
You do. And then there's so many studies behind like what it actually does to you, like the confidence that is built, and then the bonding. When you're doing it with others, there is a bonding that takes place. There's this, you know, you're building social skills. So there's a lot of studies that support all of that. It works. I mean, we know we have art as a therapy now. So
that's true.
It really, there's a lot of benefits to it.
Yeah.
So. Are you still pursuing that business?
I am.
Okay, cool.
I am.
Because you also, you do more than just that and launch that. Like, I feel like you have a lot of little ventures going on. So do you mind sharing more about, like, all the different industries that you work in?
Sure. I also am in the healthcare industry. So I have a partner where we do home healthcare. That is interesting. I think that one is a little bit close to my heart.
Okay.
Yeah, just because... you know, anyway, we live in a world where we see there's a more people, I think, now than ever have health challenges. So just being able to be in a place where you can offer that care and support to people who need it. But also, I think part of it is inspired by my godchildren.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So one of my close friends, my sister, she's like a sister pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
She is a mother to two autistic girls. Special needs. So they, just to see, and she's a powerhouse, by the way, but just to see how much time, energy, effort, like, there's a lot that goes into it. And families that live with children or a mother, a brother, a sister, they need that relief. They really do need that relief. So I actually got into this business with one partner and then my pastor who has that heart also. So we started it, and it's been awesome, and it's growing, and we're doing more, but it's good because it actually it helps the families who have that last year.
Yeah,
that's great.
You know, it's a little bit about one of the other businesses. Yeah, there are, you're right. There's a lot of projects, so I think I won't talk about all of them.
No, please.
You can share it. We'd love to hear.
So I think I will also mention to the digital marketing company. So that is actually a global. It's global. It's on the rise, but my partners are in France. So the majority of our clients are actually in France. But we do digital marketing, all things digital marketing. It's a one-stop shop for digital marketing. And I do some of the sales. So for our clients who do speak some English, I work with them. And then our technical experts take care of all of the beautiful website design, whether they want to build something from scratch, but they just, you know, really make it personal and help people to take their business from one level to the next. So those are my three main projects at the time. But there's always other things, you know, going in the works.
That's the entrepreneur in you.
Have you noticed, this is more marketing focused, but you've, like, major differences between the marketing in France versus here in the U.S.?
Well, it's yeah, because they care about different things. Like, I mean, I do feel like there are some, there's a lot of consistencies, of course. But one thing I noticed, like in France, you know, they're really conscious about, what do you call it? The environment, but that's not the word I'm looking for. But they're really conscious about the environment. So anything they want to, they want to push that in their business. We're just saying that with almost every business, they're always wanting to push. They always want to show, like, oh yes, we're eco-friendly. So there's just little things, little nuances here or there. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is just what they care about. But when it comes to the structure, the systems, it's the same. Okay. So we do use the same platforms. We use the same systems that we use here in the U.S., which is kind of a benefit because there's some that are not yet popular in France, so we're able to offer.
So you're like, we have a leg
up. Different offerings. Yeah, we do. I mean, it's available there, but they're just not known. That's cool. The biggest difference. Just what they love. The market is different.
Is it tricky to, because those are all very different industries that you're working in. Is it tricky to, I guess, like, switch your brain on and off from the different ones?
I was thinking the,
like,
same thing.
Yeah, like just keeping up with all those.
Yeah, that is a great question. And I would say it can be. And it was getting started. But what I've learned is, you know, no one should try to do everything. No one is, you might be good at many things, but you shouldn't try to do many things well on your own. You can do many things. I'm someone who, I don't like to put limits on myself, and I don't like to put limits on other people either. So you can do everything, but don't just try to, don't try to do everything alone. You might be great at this, but there's someone who can maybe do it better, or this is actually their domain. So all that to say, I don't actually put all the pressure on myself. I find people who are good at that and maybe and have the same vision. They have to have the same vision. We have to be on the same page there and then work with those people. So like I mentioned with the digital marketing, I studied marketing. So I can do, I can market. And I've worked in sales. And, I mean, I'm here at LaunchNet teaching people how to market their business. So I can do it. However, if I also go home to build websites and do all the background and, you know, strategize with each and every client, or even if I was the one focusing on it for the team, you, at some point I would get burnt out. So, yeah, definitely switching. It's still, there's switching gears, but working with people who can handle the technical part of it helps a whole lot.
I like that. I think that's also good advice for, like, entrepreneurs now, especially, like, just starting off. It's like, you don't have to do everything by yourself. It's, like, okay to ask for help. And sure. I think that's what people struggle with too, is that they want to like be like, oh, I can do it by myself. Like, I'm so strong. That's why we have LaunchNet.
Exactly. Utilize your resources, yeah. The people around you.
Yeah, don't be taking the hard way out.
Yes. Words to live by. Yeah.
It's true.
So how have you kind of like changed and progressed with like all of these ventures, like coming out of college and just like building up your entrepreneurial spirit and stuff?
How have I changed?
Yeah.
Just in general.
Since like coming out of LaunchNet and like just going out in the real world and then coming back.
Oh, yes. Yeah. How much time do we have?
as much time as you need. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think with business and with just going out into the real world, there's a lot of changes that take place. One being, you learn how to become resilient very quickly. So I know that when I was in college, and I think it's the same, you know, for most people today, but everything was there. Everything. You literally live like in almost like a bubble.
Yeah.
Where everything you need is readily available. People are, especially as a student, you can use the student card. Like, hey, I'm a student. I need help with this.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, how can I?
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. Which is, by the way, students, take advantage of this, okay? This is a great thing. Take advantage while you're a student. Mm-hmm. They used to tell us that. And I'm like, okay. Build the connections, work with people now, because people want to help. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, especially within the university, we're here for the students. So even if someone doesn't have the answer, they'll usually try to work with you to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Just a tip. But yes, so going out into the real world, especially with business and just, you know, there were, I think, just a lot of mistakes naturally that happened with business, with building relationships, with, you know, I thank God, not like detrimental, you know, but like, you know, you're doing something new, so you're going to make mistakes. I think especially working with people. So another tip while you're here. We live in an age that is so digital, and people don't really get to foster relationships. They don't really get to learn to communicate with people.
Yeah.
Because a lot can be done virtually. And, you know, learn that. Build those people skills, because you won't be just working with people in your generation. You'll be out, and it'll be it's cross-generational everywhere. Right. So you need to learn how to talk to people and know how to talk to people, know how to listen and learn from people. So I think that was just one of the biggest things I'll say. I learned to be resilient and learned to constantly grow and not let any setback, you know, keep me down. I know that's kind of maybe it seems vague, but there's a lot of lessons. There's a lot of lessons wrapped up in that. So
I think it's always like about mindset, you know. You can't be like, oh, like today sucks. It's like, oh, well, today was a bad day, but, like, that's what happens. Like, you can't have every day be a good day. So it's like, oh, it was just a little bump in the road. So I think it's all about the mindset, which I like.
Yes. Yeah. It is about the mindset. It is.
Yeah. Is there, like, I guess what you say is the most valuable lesson that you've learned through all that? Sorry, that's a big question.
Yeah, like, we're asking a lot about lessons.
I'm just here. This is an educational podcast.
I was like, I need to know. I'm almost on my way out. Like, tell me everything.
Yeah. That is a heavy. You know, there's so many things flooding my mind right now. Okay. I'm going to preface this by saying I am like a huge Christian. I'm a big Christ girl. So a lot of my lessons actually take from the Bible. I do pull from there. And so not all of them I've had to, although I did have some, you know, some challenges. Mm-hmm. Not everything I had to learn by going through. But I will say, for those Bible readers, you know, we talk about something called the fruit of the Spirit. So those principles, basically, you know, being patient, being kind, having peace, having joy, all of those things, like we were just talking about resilience. Okay, this is maybe not, there's a whole bunch of lessons, so I'll try to get to some of them. But just being at a place where no matter what happens, being able to be stable in all of those ways. Because you leave school, you're in school, there's things that happened. I mean, you have a business, things are not always going to go well. There's going to be times, maybe there's times where the account's negative, you know, the business account's negative. Maybe there's times where there's no grant money. Maybe there's times where you're talking to your family and they're like, you are crazy. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you wasting your time? You know, maybe they won't say it like that, but maybe they'll look at you like, oh, that's so nice. Okay. And you know, it means the exact same thing. And he's like, oh, wow, like they don't believe. But like having those principles, for me, it was those principles to know that it doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change who I am. So I have to be unshakable. And again, there's so many examples because I have had those times where I've shared an idea. And actually, I've had people flat out laugh. Oh, it's okay because, you know, it didn't stop me. I thank God it didn't stop me. But it can if you don't have that grit that I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be I know that this is a vision that I have, and it's not necessarily for everyone to see, but if I don't bring it out, it won't come out. They can't see it until you bring it out. So yeah, it doesn't matter. I've had those moments. I've had people laugh. I've had people say, oh, you're a dreamer, you know, and I'm still going. I'm not saying I've arrived. I'm still going. You know, they think I was dreaming then.
Just wait.
You know, but yeah, I think with any idea, you know, especially when it's still an idea, that is probably one of the biggest challenges of just really being resilient, because people won't see it. And that's the thing. They're not supposed to see it because you are the one with the dream. You're the one with the vision. And it may be something someone else is doing, but the way you're going to do it, or it may be something completely new. I mean, we think about, we hear about, we talk about people like Steve Jobs all the time. How is he going to communicate that when we're carrying around CDs and, you know, like, how is he really going to communicate? I have a vision that you're going to have this device, and you even, it'll be on your phone, so you'll be able to play music, stream. What are you talking about, dude?
like, you're crazy.
You are crazy. So to have your vision and don't wait for validation. Just be resilient and pull it out.
I like that.
I think that's good for a lot of the early stage entrepreneurs to hear. Sure.
It is. And even taking it to the next level, too, when you're scaling. I mean, I had this manager. I don't really like the way he would say it, but he would say that there's a lot of, you know, the small businesses, they remain small because he would say, like, either they're afraid to get bigger or they're not smart enough to get bigger, or that, you know, things like that. And what it really is, it does take that next level of confidence to take it there, you know, and takes that, oh, I can actually do this. It doesn't have to remain, you know, unless you really want it to,
right?
But it doesn't have to remain this size or just this mom and pop shop. Yes, it can be. If you want it to be global, it can. You just have to make changes and don't worry about the naysayers or the challenges. It's possible.
Well, as like an advisor here, and say like a student wants to like make their like company just like a little bit bigger, or like expand it, or do something like a little bit more crazy, like what advice would you give to them so that they can have the confidence to actually do it?
Systems. Implement systems. You know, it's all about systems. When you want to grow, it's if you want to be global, you don't actually start off global. But you have to, you don't have to, you know, I mean, just to paint the picture, obviously, if I want to have my business in, you know, all over Europe and all over Asia, I don't start off by like trying to place sales there. But it will be the systems that from the beginning that I use that will allow it to scale to that. So, you know. Yeah, systems in every area of business and operations, you know, marketing and finances. Find the systems that will allow you to grow. So If you want specific advice on your business, on what systems to use, then make an advising appointment.
Okay,
because it'll be different, of course. I mean, yeah, they'll be different for each industry and where you are in your business and where you would like to go.
Yeah. Well, so talking about your role and your advising role, like, how has it been so far and how have you kind of adapted?
It's been great. I would say I was delighted to come to such a wonderful group of people to work with. I don't, the culture at LaunchNet has always been, it's always been great. It has. Yeah. It's always been great. Zach, shout out to Zach.
Shout out to Zach.
Zach and Julie and everyone. And Kate, everyone who's been a part of the team and the founding members of the team. Burton D. Morgan.
Shout out to Bert.
Yes. The culture at LaunchNet is really, it's awesome because it doesn't feel like work. It's never felt like work. It always has felt like I'm doing what I absolutely love. And that's to, you know, help people to realize their dreams, help them to get from point A to point B. And you get to see people changing, like their lives changing. They come in with an idea and before you know it, like, oh, they're like winning competitions around the city, around the state, around the country, building all this confidence to go do their thing.
It's crazy.
Yes.
It's so cool to see.
Yeah. It's so
cool.
I know them. It's amazing. It really is a, I mean, I'm not trying to make anyone feel jealous, but, you know.
No, it's a really unique environment.
It's a unique environment.
Yeah.
And you have to love what you, like, do, and I'm glad that you love,
I love the
environment here.
I love it.
I mean, I love the environment here, and I'm going to be, like, sad, like, leaving.
We're going to be sad.
I'm like, what do I do? I'm like, I enjoy my time, and I'm like, I have to go find, like, a different job.
Somewhere else.
I mean, maybe you'll circle back, you know?
Exactly.
You could.
Like, sometimes we have a funny way of circling back.
Mm-hmm. It's really unique.
And LaunchNet will be here.
Right.
Yeah.
So you also have a little bit of a teaching background. I did
not know that.
should we approach
that? Do know that.
We can.
I heard the story.
You did? Oh, what stories did you hear?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever there was that. Yeah,
the group. That came to.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I guess, how has that background, or how do you see it coming into play with your position here?
Okay, good question. Moment of transparency. So that job, it was actually a job that I picked up because it allowed me flexibility to do the project, like to work on my projects. I actually started out as an education major, and I have a family full of teachers, principals, and people who have started organizations with children. So my family is big on education. Mm-hmm. So I actually thought I was going to be in education somehow.
Yeah.
But I realized kind of early on that wasn't what I wanted to do as a career. Although I did like to teach. Mm-hmm. I like to teach, but just not in that setting.
Yeah.
So I picked that up. And I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I learned a lot. I was a substitute teacher. So I wasn't actually. Yeah, it was substitute teaching. Communication. It allowed me to be able to communicate in a different way, you know, because it really challenged me to, you know, when you're in education and it was in inner city schools, too. So, like, you meet students who have different challenges and just come from different walks of life. And I was able to teach K through 12. And
wow, that's a lot to cover.
Yeah, a lot to cover.
Yeah,
a lot
so
of different
skill
sets.
Yeah, a lot of different types of students.
Yeah. It was a lot. But I would say that it allowed me to be able to kind of take these big ideas and no matter where the person was coming from, what walk of life, be able to break that big idea down. It actually taught me that, not just on an academic level, but on a personal level too, be able to kind of coach them because teaching is so much more. Oh my goodness, shout out to the teachers.
Oh, yes,
so much respect.
Often,
they are literally, they're like social workers, they're teachers, they're parents, they're all of this, they're life coaches.
Yeah, they do.
They do so much. Yeah. So that kind of, I will say it did. I did enjoy it for the time. I did enjoy it, but I learned so much. And I think a lot of that does translate now to this position, especially for the venture advising.
Yeah, because you still aren't teaching.
Yeah, that's right. Teaching,
yes. And sometimes those ideas that seem so scary, so complicated, you know, they really have to be, it's someone who is not a business major, who's never started a business, you know, some of these terms and stuff, they can be intimidating, but just to be like, hey, you know what, this is actually what it is.
Yeah,
you can do it. Let's map out how you can do it. So a lot of that translates.
Yeah.
And creativity part two.
Yeah.
Yes, because also we do programming. And, yeah, believe it or not, teachers are also program managers.
They literally do it all.
They do it all. So, yes, I think that also did help.
Yeah, so you basically are a teacher.
Because you are kind of doing it all, too, it sounds
Like, especially right now. And I think people also need that, like, push, especially, like, in the entrepreneur world. Just, somebody being like, oh, I believe in you, or, like, you can do it.
Yeah.
It's just that little push. Because,
I agree.
Yeah. So, like, as you've kind of developed in this role here, and you've been here for a little bit, what would you like to accomplish in, like, the future with this role?
Yes, definitely establishing programs. So that was when I was a part-time advisor, that what I did was actually, again, it was near to my heart, because it just made – although entrepreneurship now is much different even than what it was 5 years ago, you know, it's a lot more accessible. But still, there are some things that can seem like out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
Just bringing those to students in a way that will tailor their personal needs. So creating some of those groups again too, for underrepresented groups in general, and just tailoring to their personal needs. So there's some, be on the lookout. Make sure you are, if you haven't signed up to LaunchNet's newsletter, what are you even doing? What are you doing?
You guys heard it here first.
So definitely be on the lookout for those, because there may be something tailored specifically for you and your own needs, you know? Personalized programs are always great, because people can take away so much more. So I'm looking forward to that programming that will be coming very soon.
Ooh, exciting.
Sneak peek, yes.
Would you like to ask your favorite question?
Oh, yeah, this is my favorite question.
Oh, goodness.
Don't worry, it's not the rapid fire yet.
Not yet.
No, this is just, like, the last, like, normal question. So how would you describe an entrepreneur?
I describe an entrepreneur. Well, we talk about mindset. We covered that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mindset is important, because entrepreneurship it just requires that grit. It requires that resilience. There will be tough moments, you know, there will be tough moments. Yeah. And if you're an entrepreneur, you need to be a problem solver.
Yeah, for sure.
You won't always have the answers. You're not an expert in everything, but you have to be able to solve those problems. Know where to look, know where to dig, and just don't take no for an answer. An entrepreneur is someone who is a student, who's always a student. You have to be willing to learn. You have to be humble. Have to be humble for sure. I remember there's an entrepreneur that's a billionaire. Billionaire, I forget his business, but I was reading what he was sharing about how he just freely said, like, he wasn't the smartest person in the room. He knows that he's not the smartest person. He's not the smartest person on his team, but he works with the smartest people. I mean, to me, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
And he's a billionaire today, so he's doing something right. So,
something,
you know,
he's doing something.
So, yes, be willing to, again, be humble, because working with people who are maybe working, who are reporting to you, but we're teaching you, it takes humility. So yeah, be willing to learn from others. And I think also an entrepreneur is always, like, again, I always fall back to those principles, but an entrepreneur is kind, you know. Business, sales, when people are buying from you, they have to like you.
Yeah.
They have to feel, you know, it's people buy from people who they like. So be likable. Yeah. Be someone who's kind, approachable. And even if you don't talk to people often, portray that in your business. So an entrepreneur is someone who's kind, or at least they're perceived as kind in the mind of others. But yes, be kind. And yeah, those are a few tidbits. I mean, you know, entrepreneurs are people. So be a person.
Yeah.
Be a person. For sure. Treat people like people.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to dive into the rapid fire.
All right.
Let's go. I'm ready.
Number one, favorite medium to create art in?
Well, I paint, usually using acrylic on a canvas. I keep it simple.
Okay.
I mean, I do also draw, so I like to also sketch.
Yes. Pencil,
with
pen.
A pencil. With a pencil, yeah. Okay. I use pencil, yeah. There's something about the way you can blend with the pencil, so
yeah,
for sure. Yeah, okay. That's a good one. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be scared of them.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't know why people get scared of them. Yeah.
I think it's just rapid fire, you know.
Nah, they're not really rapid fire. Sometimes they'll go on for like 30 minutes on accident.
It's like when you're trying to put a fire out, and you're just like,
dang it. Yeah. So what animal do you most relate to and why?
Oh, okay. I don't know if other people would agree.
Well, it's about
you.
Yeah.
It's about me. Yes, yeah. Exactly. But a lion.
Okay.
I love lions, you know? And, I love how they're just so majestic and graceful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as soon as when they're ready, you know.
They pounce.
And that roar, they pounce. Yes, you know, they're powerful. They're actually really powerful.
Yeah.
And I love lions, actually. I love lions.
Yeah.
It's the grace, but also the power that they exude. So when they need to get things in order, when they need to
they know how to get things done.
And take charge. You know, sometimes you have to roar at that business. Like, But also walk out the door gracefully, like you didn't just grab everything and slam it together.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good. What is your favorite place to travel to, and where do you want to go next?
Okay, those are two different answers, actually.
That's perfect. It was a two-parter.
So my favorite place to travel is the Bahamas.
Love the Bahamas. I've never been before.
I just went last summer. My favorite ever. Like, I really want to go back.
Yes, it's beautiful. So everything gorgeous. About it is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's like everywhere you look. It doesn't even matter if it's, you know, fixed up. It's just
where in the Bahamas?
Nassau.
That's where I was.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was nice. That's a place I don't care if it's touristy.
No.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. The water, the sky.
Everything
the temperature
about
is
it.
Also perfect.
Yeah. I'm on island mode there. I'm just like, relax. It just is so relaxing there.
I think that should be a LaunchNet retreat. We should have team
building. You don't have to convince me. I'm in.
Wait, guys. I'll come back.
You're going to circle back?
I'm going to circle back.
Right.
That's good.
But the place I want to go to next is actually France. So my husband lives in France, so for now. So, of course, I love to go visit him and enjoy our baguettes. And
that's so nice.
Pastries.
Oh, the pastries.
I haven't been. I've just heard good things.
Yeah. No, I'm like, yeah, never mind. But would love to visit. Yeah. Maybe that's also a retreat.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. It's
we got to go global.
Yeah.
Exactly.
International.
Exactly.
Mr. Worldwide.
I was just about to say that.
Okay. So if you could have dinner with anybody dead or alive, who would it be and why? This one's always a tough one.
I mean, Jesus, of course.
Oh, true.
For me, it would be
true.
Jesus, yes, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
You have some communion.
No. He turns the water into wine.
Absolutely. Oh, right. I'm like, I have some fish. Jesus, let's just make this happen.
Yeah.
You know? No, for sure. Jesus, everything that I would need to know and discuss.
Yeah.
That's that cool. One's simple for me.
Yeah. Okay. I like it.
Yeah. All right. What are you most excited about for this summer?
You know, we have some, work-wise, we have some interesting projects coming up, some things that we're doing over the summer for the alumni. I'm really excited about that. Yeah, we have some grants that we are going to be offering for Kent State alum who have started businesses and maybe they just need some more resources for specific project or maybe just to take their business to the next level. I'm really excited about that. I'm excited to work with the alumni entrepreneurs and just connect with them and see what they're up to and what their goals are and how we can help them. I'm excited for travel. There'll be a little bit of travel. I should be visiting Africa for the very first time.
Oh, wow.
That's really
so
fun.
I'm excited about that.
Where in Africa?
Senegal.
Okay.
Congo for us, but Congo.
Oh, cool. That's really cool.
Over the summer.
Maybe you'll see a lion. They got lions over there?
I don't plan to meet any lions on my trip.
From afar, from a safe distance.
I'm looking forward to the food, though. I think those are two really exciting things I'm looking forward to. And of course, you know, family time and working on these programs that you'll be seeing in the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, yeah. Okay, well, I think that's all.
That's all the rapid fire.
That's all the rapid fire. Do you want to plug anything? I know you plugged your making a meeting with you. So do you want to plug that in again?
Maybe any of your other ventures?
Yeah, any other ventures. Anything you want to plug, this is your time.
I will say definitely come and make an appointment. If you're working on something and you want an accountability partner, you want a coach, you just need more resources, you don't know the next steps, come and visit us. That's my biggest plug right now, because LaunchNet is an invaluable resource on campus. It is. And we're well positioned in the entrepreneurial ecosystem. So really, it's a place you can come to that is that one-stop shop, you know,
right.
Whether you need to grow, whether you need connections, whether you need funding, come see us. Yes, that's the biggest plug. You know, that's the biggest plug.
Yeah.
So, if you want to know more about LaunchNet, you want to know more about the staff here, the amazing staff here, come visit us. And I just want to add too, it's not just us that loves the culture. I don't know if you all hear this, but I hear all the time from clients. They're like, this is just, they love it. They're like, my confidence was built here. I'm not, this is actually not a plug, but I'm actually just sharing. But you know, it's just a unique culture all around. So it's a place where you can get inspired and connect with other entrepreneurs and like-minded people.
For
so,
sure.
That's the plug.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, anyways, let's get after it.